Okay, so last week we started looking at the Old Testament lands and not just Palestine. And if you remember, as we kind of put this up here and kind of give the picture of the whole thing, you know, Palestine that we had been looking at is just right here. And now we're talking about everything. And I had brought this up last week too. Remember the scale of things as we're looking at this. And instead of just, you know, 150 miles or so from here to here, when we're thinking about this, you know, this scale talks about 200, 400, 600 miles. So, you know, as you go from here up and over, especially to pass because of the landscape, you know, you're talking about 600, 800, 1,000 miles, of travel. And we'll get into that a little bit next week when we think about Abraham and some of the journey that he made. So just keep that in mind as we're looking at things on a world scale. So last week we started talking about this part of the world and it being called Mesopotamia. Does anybody remember what that word meant? Yeah, in between rivers, right. Yeah, between the two rivers. That's what the word Mesopotamia means. Between two rivers, and kind of refers to this entire area here. We think about the Persian Gulf today, and we know where that is. And so these two big rivers that go here, which were, I guess I can't ask what they are, it's on the screen. Tigris and the Euphrates River that we often think about or read about in the Bible. We looked at some scriptures last week that show us, you know, how those are referred to as marking points for different things. Those are two of the four rivers mentioned about, in where the Garden of Eden was, even though as we have studied, they may not be in the same places that they were, before the flood. So keep in mind also as we're looking at these things, because today we're going to talk about an area and a nation, Egypt, when we get to that part. But Mesopotamia was not a nation of people. It was just an area where nations existed. And so Assyria came from there. Babylon came from that area, the two big ones that we often think about in the Old Testament story that originated in that area. And the Bible does mention in Judges 3 about the king of Mesopotamia, talking about a king in one of the cities of that area. But Mesopotamia was not a nation. It wasn't a gathered together people that went and did and conquered and had central government or anything like that. It's just an area. And so this area between the two rivers, a very fertile area, lots of cities that were cropping up along that way. And that's also where we saw last week, you know, this idea of villages starting to have their own type of government, and building walls. We talked a little bit about that. We think about Jericho and the wall of Jericho that we reference a lot. Well, that influence came from this area where they started along these rivers. That's where a lot of cities began and their influence grew as people went from here, you know, from your perspective, from here up over into Canaan, and started dwelling there and the idea of walled cities and, those things, you know, cities against cities instead of nations against nations at this point in time. So we left off last week talking about this mountain range, and I wanted to bring this up before we get into the desert area. So, you know, as we're thinking about mountains again, just keeping the area in perspective, because we don't think of this region of the world sometimes as a mountainous region. We think of it, at least I have, you know, as you grow up thinking about the Bible lands, you know, what's in your head usually about Bible lands? What kind of area is it? Yeah, right. Dry, desert, lots of sand and kind of brown and red and clay. And as you've seen in a lot of this, it's not all that way. You know, there's a lot of different environments and a lot of different, weather systems. And so we want to keep that in mind, because some of the things that we read that God asks of his people or where he's sending them or where they're going, you know, the challenges that they faced and their dependence upon God, some of it had to do with the land and where they were. So you think about mountains here, you know, 9,000 feet high mountains, in this area is not what we often think of. But, you know, we're going to notice next week in the land of Ur where Abraham was, he could probably, you know, up around here, he could probably see these mountains, you know, in the place that he left. And so these mountains were a border, you know, kind of northwest here of the Tigris River. And as we'll see next week also, you had descendants of Noah coming off of Mount Ararat up here. Some people went this way, some people went this way, and that border kept them separated. And so you had different descendants, you know, coming into their own, separated by some natural borders. You know, I think that's probably part of God's plan, and some of the things that, he did. So there were, mentions in the lesson passes between those mountains. You know, there was opportunity for them to trade with one another, but in general, you saw this separation because of that. And so we just threw this graphic up as we're, you know, kind of running out of time that shows some of these mountain ranges and where they are. So if you remember some of the things that we over in Palestine, you know, Mount Nebo, Moses looking over into the promised land, 2,700 feet. I have no glasses today. So, Mount Hermon, Mount Lebanon, up in the northern part of Palestine on either side of the Jordan River where the river starts and things are going down. You know, those are snow-capped mountains. And then you have, you know, Mount Ararat where, you know, some place in that region is where, talking about the ark ending up. And, you know, that's a pretty big mountain. So that's what's in this region. And from there, we'll notice next week, mankind begins again. And so that's over in this Mesopotamian Valley and where these things are. And so as you imagine, we often think of the Bible story taking place in a lot of it in Palestine or in the land of Canaan. Mankind started again coming off of the ark here and working his way down. So just keeping perspective about how things are going and where we're headed with stuff. So, talk a little bit about the Arabian Desert this morning. So this area lies, it talks about being south. If you look in your material, it's on page 3, I think. This area lies southwest of the Euphrates River, and it talks about it covering about 1 million square miles. So pretty decent sized area, just above the Red Sea on one side. This is actually, I didn't know this until I was studied this years ago. This is an extension of the Sahara Desert. Does anybody know where the Sahara Desert is? Africa, right. So an extension of the Sahara Desert, you know, across, if you go across the Red Sea, this type of landscape, you know, is continuing. You've got the Red Sea touching the Indian Ocean in the middle of it here. And, you know, it talks about the kind of people who made their livelihood in this area. And also, you know, references the Nile River and the Red Sea, which we'll talk about here in just a few minutes. But, in Bible times, the Arabian Desert is actually mentioned several times, several different things or peoples coming from that area or visiting that area, and different things happening there. We don't know a lot about it, but as far as what the Bible mentions about it, but it's something to keep in mind. It's not just a desert that had nothing to do with the Bible story. So, you know, the lesson talks about, you know, a place where, you know, storehouses of spices and other valuables came, from this area. People traveled through the edges of this, on their trade routes, and sometimes made their living by selling some of the things or bringing some of the things from this area into Palestine or into the Mesopotamian Valley. So if you kind of look at it this way, you know, here's a worldwide view of, it talks about three fertile areas and two desert areas. And it's just interesting, this part of the world, this is what you see, that you don't see this in other places. So we've got Mesopotamia that we've been talking about up here. In between that, the Arabian Desert, the Red Sea and the Nile River. We'll talk just briefly about that here in a little bit about how important that is. And then this large area, the Sahara Desert, before you get up here by the sea where you have these other fertile areas. So just kind of a big picture to think about what's happening here in the land. And so as we start to think about Egypt and people traveling down into Egypt and the landscape there and how dependent the people in Egypt are on the fertility that's in the middle of this desert, that says a lot about things when you start considering how the Egyptians kept the Israelites under slavery. The Israelites were such a large people an Egyptian, Egypt was, they did have a centralized military, that helped keep them under control, but also think about the borders. Where are they going to go? And, you know, who's controlling the resources when you think about the Israelites and their interaction with Egypt? Well, if you look at this, you know, where are they going to escape to without the help of God? And I think that was part of God's plan for them to see and to be able to depend on Him. So as they, you know, they came from, if you go back into the story in the book of Genesis, when there was a famine in the land and Jacob and his family were invited by Joseph to come to Egypt where they were going to be able to see through that famine. You know, we know that different things happen even in our nation. You go through years of where the South or the Southwest has drought or California has a drought. And so small areas like the size of Palestine experience those different things. So when that happened and forced Jacob and his family down into this fertile area where Joseph was in control and they got established there, then they're kind of stuck there. They can't go this way on their own. They can't go this way on their own. As a nation without resources, and if Egypt is controlling the resources right here, kind of gives you a picture of where they were. Because, you know, to go from here up to the next fertile area, you know, it's over 1,000 miles. And for a couple of million people to travel as a group, that's not easy to do in that day. You don't jump in the car and go. You know, and the next fertile area that Egypt didn't control is a long ways away. So, gives you a picture of what's happening and why people and how people are dependent upon God, if you just kind of stop and think about it. So here's some quick pictures of the Arabian Desert. He mentions in the lesson that it wasn't just one vast sand dune. It's kind of a higher tableland, but still a desert area. So if you can imagine that picture we just looked at here a moment ago, you know, the Sahara Desert being, you know, basically one elevation. You go across the Red Sea and the Nile River, whoops. Remember what we talked about in a couple lessons ago? You've got this large rift valley that's about 4,000 miles long that starts clear up here in the mountains, comes down through Palestine, ends up going down through the Nile River and the Nile River Delta. So the elevation changes from here to over here. So this is higher. A higher tableland type area, kind of like the west side of the Jordan. Because it is on, or east side of the Jordan, because it is on the east side of the Jordan, the part that touches Palestine. And so, in some instances, it does look like a desert, but you see, as you look off in the distance there, you see higher elevations, you see mountainous areas, obviously you see sand, and you know, some of these pictures are obviously taken for their beauty of the area, not just a straight picture of it, but you know, you have this type of thing in this desert area. And different people traveling through here. So, get one more. So as we think about things today, this area of the desert today. This is what it looks like today. Here's the Red Sea again for reference. And here's, you know, Egypt and the Nile River. So the Arabian Desert now, a lot of it is Saudi Arabia. Down here you've got Yemen and Oman and Kuwait up here on the Persian Gulf, part of Iraq. You know, here's Palestine up in this area. So by comparison, you hear about things today, that's the territory that we're talking about. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1. Since I don't have my glasses, somebody else can read for us. Galatians chapter 1. Because this, aside from the Old Testament references of people, you know, coming through the edge of the desert and talked about nomadic tribesmen living there and coming into the Palestine area. And if you remember in Palestine, I don't have those maps up, but, you know, Edom and the Ammonites were right on the edge of this desert. And Moab were right on the edge of this desert. So the Edomites, the Moabites, and especially the Ammonites, they were people that lived kind of in this transitional area that had some resources. Remember, it talked about the Moabites and their wells and they were good at finding the wells in that area. So the area is transitioning from the Jordan Valley up on the high tableland and then eventually headed out towards this desert. So you had those people on the edge of that. And as that, we talked about the king's highway that went through Moab and Edom and up that side of the Jordan River up to Damascus. And so you had that trade route there. So people coming off of the edge of the desert, selling some of the things or using some of the resources that were there, like the spices and things of that nature. But also, you know, it was a more desolate place, obviously, than most of the civilization on the west side of the Jordan. So Paul talks about going there and spending some time. As he was converted, Paul spent about 14 years learning and studying before he went out and started preaching and making all the journeys that we often think about. And so it mentions here in Galatians 1, somebody pick up there and read for us about verse 18 down through maybe verse 20. Anybody have that? Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I did not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judah that are in Christ.
I started seeing that I can't see, and so I started you one verse wrong. Late. Read verse 16 and 17. Sorry.
But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus.
Okay, and so that's the point I was making. Thank you, Dwayne. Sorry, I steered you the wrong way. But so, you know, here Paul talks about, you know, he went into Arabia and was in that area as far as studying. Just, it's just another reference that makes it real as we think about some of the things that, that happened there. You know, part of your material before we get into Egypt there, the last couple of paragraphs, you know, talk about that, that throughout history, waves of Semitic people had poured into Arabia, into the fertile land, from the fertile lands of Mesopotamia and Aram and Canaan. Amorites, it talks about them being established, in that area. And, it talks about some of the clay tablets that were found, in that area. Just showing, you know, mankind being there. And also the last thing it mentions are the lava beds. And so I've kind of made that a little bit bigger here as you look at that in the area. So, the area of Arabia had significance. People went there on the edges. Nations were on the edges of it. But also it was a natural border because it's a desert. And these lava beds that were here made, you know, being able to settle in that area or build cities in that area not something that could be done. You know, plus the resource of water and things like that as well. So as you think about that, whoops, one too many. As you think about that, you know, up here is, here's Canaan, and, you know, the edge of the desert, the Amorites, the Moabites, you know, things like that were happening there, and I guess this is the blown up portion of it here, here's the Dead Sea. So the edges of this are where people traveled, where they gathered resources from here, but in general, the majority of it here was not something that, not a place that people dwelt in. So that forced, as we've talked about, that forced people to go up and around. And because of that, you know, a lot of people traveled through that region. So that's just some information about the desert. I spent way too much time on that. So let's move through Egypt in the time that we have left so we'll finish up some of the things here this morning. So Egypt, most of us are pretty familiar about where that is and what's important about that. But when you look at Egypt, one thing that's interesting to note is at the bottom of page 3 as it starts to talk about it there. At the time it says the Sumerians were flourishing in Mesopotamia. So, you know, that's one group of people that started. You saw the same thing in Egypt. And so this shows us a little bit about the development of man. It wasn't that man just was evolving from, you know, something else and slowly then spreading around, you see the same developments of like hieroglyphics and the type of writing here that you saw in Mesopotamia and the Sumerians that we talked about last week, the cuneiform writing. So God created man as intelligent beings, and no matter where he is, he's continuing to develop, you might say, kind of at the same rate, and moving forward and making civilizations. And you certainly see that in Egypt with some of the different things that we're familiar with there. So Egypt consisted a lot of the Nile River Delta. So this area right here, a couple of quick interesting facts, 99% of the people in the Egyptian area live on 4% of the land. And that's because that's where the water is. You saw the picture a few minutes ago about the fertile areas. So what they can irrigate from the Nile River is where people live. And that's why it was so important when you think about God's interaction with Moses and Aaron and the Egyptian people and the plagues, why those things were so important, because this was where life was. And as they are affecting things, they're affecting the livelihood of these people who are all centered around where they are. So again, you see God's control and God's wisdom here. Yeah, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abraham, if he hadn't done what he did, if he had stayed where he was at.
Sure.
And Isaac.
Yep. Moses. Yep. Yeah, and you see a lot of, when you consider the landscape that they had to deal with, and that they had to have just faith that God was going to care for them in their daily needs. To be able to have water and pasture and to be able to travel through these types of rugged territories and terrains, through different climates. And yeah, I mean, it shows you how much they needed to depend on God and how willing he was to take care of them. It's important, I think, to recognize that. What's that?
It didn't snow here.
Okay, right. Right.
Up in the mountains.
Right, up in the mountains, but not here. So you think about this. Anybody know how long the Nile River is? What was that?
4,000 miles.
Yeah, 4,000 miles, right. So, it's the longest river in the world, and it flows north. That's an interesting fact in case you didn't remember that from before. Most rivers, we don't think of flowing that way, but, here's the Mediterranean Sea and the Nile River originating down a lake further down in Africa and flowing north. So it's one of the few rivers in the world that flow north, which is kind of an interesting fact about the area. Think about the river valley being, between a mile and 24 miles wide. Again, when you have a nation of people trying to fit in this area, and you got desert on either side, that's significant, to think about. And to think about the dependence that not only the children of Israel, but others would have on God. So just some highlights about that. The Nile is the longest river in the world. It talks about in the lesson on page 4, about halfway down, that there is no rainfall in Upper Egypt. But there are about 8 inches of rain per year in the Delta region. So think about that for just a moment. 8 inches a year in the Delta region. I'm pretty sure we have exceeded that in Ohio already this year a couple of times. All right. So this area and the river and being around the water, people were dependent on that. And we just don't think about that today, because we go turn a faucet on and we have what we need. We just don't think about that. You consider, and as you start to put some of this together and what God asked of his people, and as Alan brought up, Abraham leaving Ur, leaving where? The city of Ur was by the river. All right. And traveling around, think of what you had to do when we say, well, Abraham had the faith to leave his land and go to a new land. Living by the river, he knew, even if it was hard work, he knew how he was going to have to live every day. He had, if he was a wealthy man, as it talks about him being, he had the right amount of servants and the right amount of containers and the systems to go and gather all the water that he needed for the flock, which was his wealth. He didn't have gold bars in a safe or a bunker under his house. He had animals. Okay. And so for him to maintain his wealth and travel 1200 miles, Think of what you would have to do. And you're going to some place where you have no idea where the rivers are, or where the water is, or where the pasture is. All right? That is a different leap of faith than us saying, oh, I don't know if I should take this job instead of this job because, you know, I might make $10,000 a year less here and I might have to live in a house where I turn the water on this floor instead of this floor. Different. Okay? So think about the reality of the faith of that people had to have. That they truly depended on God. And you think about, you know, just Egypt here and how dependent people are in this valley and on the Nile River. And, you know, that's why these facts are important. They may just be facts to us. Hey, it was a really long river and sometimes it was 1 mile wide, sometimes it was 24 miles wide. Well, if you were a couple million people trying to find your spot on the bank of the river, that was important. All right. So, you know, just keep some of that in mind. We're flying through the rest of it here, but, think about the pyramids in Egypt and, you know, shows the intelligence of man. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. They had a lot of medical skills. You know, there was development that was going on here because you had, you know, why was that? Why did they have a lot of development in this area? Well, because you had a lot of people in one small space surrounding that which gives life, which is the water. And so more collaboration, more thinking together, more coming up with stuff, you know, that many people squeezed together in one place, going to be more disease, things are going to spread faster. Hey, how do we combat this? How do we deal with, you know, different situations that, you know, we can get into the whole thing about the pyramids and what their purpose was besides the religious aspect of it and the intelligence that went with that. So God made these things. God created men to do this, and we certainly, you know, we certainly see that in there. They had one of the first biggest central governments as well, is one of the notes that he made, that we made in this area. So that went a lot faster. That time went a lot faster than I thought. I'm going to mention this next week as we start talking about where Noah and those people settled, because we're running out of time here, but, you know, think about the Red Sea, you know, this fertile area in between the two deserts. Here's the Nile River, Red Sea, and these two gulfs, the Gulf of Suez and the Gulf of Aqaba. You know, today there's the Suez Canal, which connects these. That didn't exist then. But these two little arms that, have these gulfs create this triangle and create this wilderness of Sinai. And we'll talk a little bit about that next week. So here's the two arms of the Red Sea, and here's the wilderness of Sinai. This is where the children of Israel spent 40 years. And think about what that climate was and why it's important and why they had to depend upon God there. It's an interesting place for a little area. You've got mountains of varying heights. You've got, obviously a hard and rugged terrain. And God led his people through here and probably through here and down around here to get up here. Why did he do that? Well, there's a reason. And we want to appreciate what that is. So we're out of time though. So we'll talk about that next week, and I'll have the material out for you hopefully on Wednesday and via email. Thanks for your comments and your attention.